T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
It is 8:33. I'm Debbie Monterey, and welcome to Wednesday, April the 8th. Yes, Wednesday, April the 8th. It's time for Overtime, and joining us is Mr. Charlie Brennan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Debbie Monterey.
And Ms. Amy Marks-Kors. Hello.
Well, hello, Debbie. How are you?
I'm well. It's nice and cool here in Studio B. It was really warm out there yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, and I think I got a little bit of a suntan just from being outside in the sun, but it felt very healing, and I was hoping that the UV rays were somehow killing whatever virus was, like, around me. I'm like, the sun has got to be working, right?
Cook the coronavirus. Cook it.
That's right.
Hey, go figure. Now that I'm broadcasting from home, the air conditioning at KMOX works.
It always works. It's usually freezing in here.
Usually it's
my opinion. That's the biggest debate.
Yeah.
That's right. Is it a studio or is it a meat locker? We're not really sure.
As the late, great John Ferrara said, women are never cold. They're freezing.
Yes. Well, lately it's been cold, so I feel better when some of the men who are, you know, still in and out of this place say, it's really cold in here. I'm like, thank you very much. It is very cold. But I won't.
You just made my day.
I won't complain, because you know why? It's going to be cold again as we head into tomorrow and Friday in the 50s. Hey, let's get to our first topic, which is actually a good news topic and hopefully is going to have some sort of a domino effect, because we've been hearing a lot from Bill Gates lately, and we all know he gives tons of money to everything, and he's been weighing in a lot on coronavirus. But Jack Dorsey, St. Louis's own Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter and co-founder of Square, says he is going to set aside $1 billion in stock to establish a philanthropic venture focused initially on global relief efforts for the COVID-19 pandemic. He's going to bequeath new venture shares from his Square holdings. He's going to call this venture Start Small, which, I don't know, $1 billion is not small to most of us. But in a series of tweets, he had said that the contribution amounts to about 28% of his fortune. What do you think about that, Charlie?
Well, it's extraordinary and it's tremendous. And here's a guy who at one point was a barista in South St. Louis, and now he's the CEO of two major corporations, both of which are founded on inventions that he created or co-created. Let me remind folks, remember Debbie, when he joined us in the studio, he said that his very first childhood memory is of listening to KMOX.
Yep.
So that tells you how you should raise your kids, folks. The other thing is, about a year or so ago, he came up with a new payment system. And I poo-pooed him and kind of made fun of him, because this new payment system would allow you to pay at the checkout without touching a dirty screen. And at the time, I go, what a germ bug. What's this guy up to? Well, who was ahead of the curve once again? Jack Dorsey.
Did you really call him a germ bug?
I think I did.
I like that. What a germ bug. Well, I think it's extraordinary as well. I mean, and he said this is about 28% of his wealth. So 28%. That's no small chunk. And the first funds from this with Smart Start Small will go to COVID-19 relief. But he also has plans once COVID-19 has been gotten under control to channel funds to girls' health and education, universal basic income. So he's got, you know, other charitable ideas as well to just start small, I guess, with this and then continue to move forward. I'm excited because I love to see the private sector step up, and I know the government is doing all it can, but America, so much of America's greatness and what America has done and how it can respond to crises and disasters like this comes from individuals, comes from the private sectors. And I am excited that he is stepping up, and hopefully it's the first of some more good headlines.
Well, hopefully it will inspire others to follow suit, and we need to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk about more topics, including who's overseeing the trillions of dollars that'll be going out. And how about that acting Navy secretary? Those topics and more after we check traffic and weather together. It's 8:38. KMOX News Time, 8:43. Time for round two of OT. We have Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks-Gores. I'm Debbie Monterey. And Congress passed the CARES Act, and it's $2 trillion plus going out to all kinds of people and places. But President Trump moving yesterday to oust the leader of a new watchdog panel charged with overseeing how the administration spends those trillions of taxpayer dollars. The latest step in a unfolding White House power play against semi-independent inspectors general across government. Now, Glenn Fine has been the acting inspector general for the Defense Department since before Trump took office. He was set to become the chair of a new pandemic response accountability committee to police how the government carries out this coronavirus relief bill. Amy, are you concerned about the removal of Mr. Fine?
Yeah, to be completely honest, it's hard to keep up with the rotating members of staff on council and the administration just in and out. You know, Trump is not shy about calling people out for not being supportive of him. He's not shy about saying that he's not a big fan of individuals because of how those individuals spoke about him or countered him. And then those individuals often find their way out the door. And so it's not a good precedent to set. Now, the president, does he have the authority to remove these inspectors general? Well, of course he does. But historically, presidents have tried not to do that because they're viewed as, you know, an outside objective counsel. And it doesn't look good when the president removes that person. So, yes, I do find it concerning, and I don't think it's wise to attack or otherwise remove those who disagree with you when you are an authority. It is good to have lots of counsel when you are in that position.
Well, it is good to have the watchdog. I think we all agree with that. We also agree the president unilaterally can remove inspectors general. If we don't like that, we should change the law. As for inspectors general generally, hey, they help us as citizens make decisions because they are the watchdog on government practices. However, I think also there's another side to the coin. And during the president's press conference 2 days ago, Admiral Brett Giroir, who's a four-star admiral and a pediatrician, who's kind of in charge of the testing. Right now, he's, I guess, the assistant secretary of health in the Trump administration. He pointed out something I thought was very interesting about an inspector general report that came out 48 hours ago, saying that there were problems with testing of COVID-19 and coronavirus in the United States. The sample was taken by the inspector general from March 23rd through March 27th, but they released the information 2 days ago at 8 a.m. Admiral Giroir rightly pointed out they could have told him back in March that there were problems, but they did not. He found out by watching the news, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, he saw that there were problems within his department. And I think, as he pointed out, there are ethical and moral questions there. Not only that, but health questions. If the inspector general knew there were problems, why not give the information to those in power immediately so they can make corrections?
Are you saying that's the reason that President Trump removed
Glenn Fine? No, it's a different inspector. Well, no, the president removed the inspector general because he's tired of him. He thinks that there is a deep state that's out to get him and that Russian collusion was a hoax and the Ukrainian situation. He's tired of being investigated by Adam Schiff and anybody. And I think that he saw this guy as an Obama appointee and he didn't want him in there. And he's got the law on his side. He can do it, Debbie.
Yeah, and I think what happens, too, though, is when Trump continues to remove people and when he uses the rhetoric he does, what that does is that discredits even some of his more credible claims. Do you know what I mean? It just becomes a very big mess of Trump making things about himself and about collusion and about impeachment. And I get it. I get that that's the narrative. We've been throwing that at him as well.
In case of collusion, I think he was right. There wasn't collusion between the president and the Russians, and we spent 2.5 years looking into it.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, speaking of the revolving door, the acting Navy secretary has resigned, so I'm not sure who's acting in that role this morning, but we'll discuss that and more when we come back with round three of OT here on KMOX. KMOX News Time is 8:52. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. And it was an interesting string of events. The commander of the captain of the air carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt had leaked a letter talking about the coronavirus situation on his ship. He was very concerned about his crew. It turns out he tested positive for coronavirus as well. Well, he was fired. And then the acting Navy Secretary, Thomas Modley, addressed the crew, calling the captain that was fired stupid and naive and chastising the crew for cheering for the captain as he left the ship. Well, then the other surprising turn of events was that Thomas Modley then apologized, which I was actually surprised by the apology, but then he resigned. So, Charlie, my question is, did he resign for the comments that he made, or did he resign because he apologized?
Well, I think when you have Modley showing up in front of the crew members of the USS Roosevelt, and he's using really profane language, and he was, and then in front of the crew members who, by the way, had been applauding for their departed Captain Crozier, they really liked Brett Crozier. And the situation was of the thousands of crew members on that ship, you know, what, 120 or 200 or so had come down with coronavirus. So Crozier writes this long memo. The president didn't like it. The president was like, you know, this is not a literary job. And I didn't understand that. The man was explaining the problems of his ship, and he wasn't getting any attention from the Navy. So I think it was going to blow up because I think most people in America were going to side with those who were on the ship. Interestingly enough, Modley happens to be a Clevelander, and this is apropos of nothing, but he went to the same high school, Shaker Heights, as Roger Penske and actor Paul Newman. But anyway, aside from that, Modley's gone and we won't be dealing with him anymore.
Yeah, and what's interesting is Modley was only there because the previous Secretary of the Navy resigned quite publicly because he was upset about the president's pardon of war criminals back in November. Now, here's the thing with Crozier, though, because Joe Biden said that Crozier, the Navy captain who leaked the letter about his concerns regarding COVID-19 on the ship, Biden said he should be commended. But I have an issue with that because I cannot imagine the fear and alarm he felt. But what he did is he sent this letter on an unclassified email system to 20 to 30 people, so it could definitely leak, and it was indeed leaked to the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, this is the military. I don't know if he had sent many letters, you know, trying to go up the chain, the command chain, to get this message out, or if he just sent this letter out willy-nilly in the way he did, and it was indeed leaked to the media. Because if you put that in any other business, right, let's say here at KMOX or Intercom, if I had an issue and had some concerns with how the things were being run, I have the right to go to my superiors and tell them about that. But what I probably shouldn't do is send out a massive email and leak it to the media of what a mess the place is.
Well,
that part does concern me.
I think it would be okay if it's a matter of life and death like it was in this situation. And it reminds me
military?
A little bit of Wisconsin. You know, if you're talking about life and death, throw the rules out. I mean, in Wisconsin, you know there's a problem when the National Guard wearing N95 masks are running the polls.
Did you see the picture, by the way, of Wisconsin House Speaker Robin Voss? He is in full protective gear,
yes.
Probably more protective gear than most healthcare workers get right now, talking about how it's safe to go out and vote. He's saying this to people who are waiting in long lines who have no protective gear. It just seemed like that is going to be a campaign ad for sure.
And a lot of people stayed home, of course.
That's not great. I do want to say this with the military, though. The military is always life and death. And I think there's a lot of life and death.
No, you usually don't have a virus, a killer virus with, what, a 1% death rate on a ship like this. I mean, it's true. If they're in combat, it's life and death. If they're attacked, it's life and death. But if you've got the enemy within on a contained vessel, that's another matter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.